that we have so many kids here this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad we're a church that wants kids here?
Amen.
A funny thing, as we're walking in, I don't mean to point this out, but I noticed that Isaiah, as he's coming up, he's used to sitting in this very front row because you know he's here every week. And so when he came up, he's like, oh, somebody's sitting in my seat. And so he had to, his dad diverted him to, and totally fine, Curtis, that you guys are sitting there, but it was just funny. You notice, I felt blessed by that he knows this place so well that he's here, amen, this morning.
Amen.
I just thought that was awesome. I hope you're here to worship this morning. I hope that for a moment that you can just think about God and not yourself this morning. Come here and just enter into a time of worship and forget all the other junk that's happening and just allow yourself to be thankful for who God is and open your hearts, the eyes of your heart, as this song says, to what he has in store this morning. So let's sing this out.
Now is the time.
Aren't you thankful for the truth that one day we will rise to be with our God and Savior? That's our truth that we hold, that this is not our home, that one day we will meet him in glory. Amen. So if you guys remember this song, we haven't done this one a little while. We did it Tuesday night a couple weeks ago, but it's called I Will Rise. There's nothing better than you, amen? This song is one of our favorites that we love to do. And you know, the verse says, I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Only Jesus can do that, amen? So you guys know this well. Let's sing it out.
Searched the world, but it couldn't fail me.
want you to think right now, whether you've been a Christian for a short time or a really long time, about the times when maybe you felt alone, maybe you felt like God was far from you, but when you look back, you realize that he was always there and still can be always there for you, despite what we do or what happens in our lives. He's there. Once you've accepted him, he's there. His grace is there. So this is what this song is about. This is called There Was Jesus.
I had to turn on the fan. I thought I didn't need it. First service proved me wrong. So that's okay. I got a little riled up, but that's okay. I love it when we come to church, we get riled up. Amen? You know, it was funny. There's been times when I visited churches that I felt were maybe a little, how do you describe them? You describe them as dead. You describe them as boring sometimes. And that's sad to me because we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who rose from the dead to redeem us of sin. Amen? That should never be boring, right? And I don't know how those churches maybe have done in the past, but here's the deal. Even if you come here and you are feeling bored, I want you to always seek God. Because when you seek, you will find, right? And there's the truth of what we've been proclaiming this morning and what we've been singing. We understand that it's been a crazy time. And we've been encouraging you that despite all of the craziness from government to provinces to all the changing regulations, we want you to just keep living and keep living in a godly way. Amen? That we've been challenged as we've looked into this verse, right? Where Peter is challenging us to add to our faith goodness. I hope you've been doing it. There's enough hate in the world. I hope you're adding goodness. I hope that you've been adding knowledge, right? That you've been seeking and you've been finding. I hope that you've been adding self-control. We could use a whole lot more of that, right? Perseverance. Are you adding perseverance daily to your faith? And godliness, we talked about last week. And maybe you're here today and you haven't been here for each Sunday. I want to challenge you to go back. You know, Peter's pretty clear that we need to add these things to our faith so that we would be able to be productive, right? That you would be able to be effective. And he's saying these things are good for you, and we need to be seeking them. And so we're going to continue with his list today. 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, add to your faith mutual affection. Many of the translations use brotherly kindness, right? In the Greek, we've been talking about the Greek, Philadelphia, which is spelled Philadelphia. How many have ever heard what the city of Philadelphia is called? The city of brotherly love, right? This we are called in this verse to cherish one another and to love one another as family. Now, if you've studied the Bible, you may have heard these different loves, but love is mentioned in the Bible in very different ways. In the English, we've been trying to tell you guys, our language is very shallow. And I always use this, and I don't know why it's always burgers. But I would say I love burgers, and then I would say with the same mouth, I love my wife, right? Now, I really love it when my wife makes burgers, right? And I think about those things, but think of how silly that is. Do I love my wife way more than burgers? Absolutely, right? I love her in a very different way than I love burgers, right? And you go, okay, why do we use the same word? It seems so shallow to me. Well, if you study love in the Word of God in the original language, they use different words for love. One is agape. That is the love that you are to have towards God the Father and the love that the King has towards you. There is storge love. And storge love is one of those loves that I have towards my kids and my kids are supposed to have towards me. It's that parental love. There is eros. I like eros. Eros is that romantic love, and it always is happening after my wife makes burgers. You know what I'm saying? Right? So you got to put that all in perspective. Then there's this love that's called philia. Wow. Philia love, right? A love that is a brotherly love. It shows mutual affection, and we're to add to our faith daily this philia. How many of you have siblings? Right? Siblings, how many of you love your siblings? How many of you know that even though there's been tension with your siblings, you're the good sibling? Right? That's what I kind of wanted to get to today. You know, if you have siblings, you're going to understand that brotherly love is not something that comes natural. Right? In fact, how many of you understand that there's big rivalry that comes between you and your siblings? Yeah. Right? There's fighting that comes. And you know what? You're born with that desire to war. Right? It's a fallen nature. But that tension that you feel is very real. I was reading about different psychologists who were studying siblings. And they were amazed to find that on average, when they were watching siblings, that in the course of 1 hour, there would be 8 different disagreements. And I thought, only 8? That seems small. If you knew my brother, right? Eight. That would be a cakewalk. My mom used to pray for only 8 conflicts during an hour, right? But those researchers said 8 times brothers and sisters, or sisters and sisters, or sisters and brothers would come together with disagreements. And it was funny, like sometimes, you know, some of those tweets will come up on your phone, people that you follow and different things like that. Anyway, there was this tweet of a mother, and I had to share it with you today. She says, "My children are currently fighting over an invisible bike that the 7-year-old won't share. I pointed out to the 3-year-old that she could ride her own invisible bike, and she laid down and sobbed, but I only want hers." We're done with this week now, yes? And I was thinking about that. I was going, wow, you know what? My brother and I had epic wars. We had very big battles growing up as siblings. It was kind of interesting. I remember my mom and dad would always tell this story when we were growing up. I was about 4 years old. My brother's 2 years older than me. For 4 years of my life, he picked on me, he manipulated me, and he got his way. 4 years of my life, right? And so there was this one particular day, we were coming close to Christmas. I don't know if it was the tension of Christmas or what it was, but he wanted one of my toys. And he grabbed it with both hands, and he started to pull it away from me, but because both of his hands were occupied at the time, I only had one hand on my toy, I took my other hand, I reached back, and I, boom, right in the head. Boom, my brother goes down. To my surprise and joy, he had lost a tooth. I knocked a tooth right out of his head, right? He is bleeding, he's holding his tooth, his bloody tooth there, he's bleeding from his mouth, he's sobbing, he's looking at mom and dad, he's crying, he's like, and he holds out the tooth, hoping that justice will be soon. And my mom and dad, they did something totally unexpected. They just started clapping. Woo! All right, Andrew, you finally stood up for yourself. And I'll never forget that. It was like one of those moments where they said, you know what? Here we see a balance of power. You know, they knew that conflict was in our nature, right? They knew by this time, trust me, that my brother and I were fallen beings. Right? And we had a desire to war. But what they were excited about was to find out that there would be finally this balance of power. And you know what? It's interesting because Peter calls us to this brotherly love. Why? Because he knew that we would want war. He knew that we would have trouble loving one another. He knew that that thinking of someone other than yourself doesn't come naturally. And so you know what? He says he calls for us to add to our faith daily brotherly love, to add mutual affection. And you think about these rivalries. Like, it's kind of amazing to me. You think of the worst case scenario, Cain and Abel, Genesis. How many know that story? Cain and Abel, 2 brothers, Genesis 4, right? They both bring an offering unto God, right? And Abel does it with his heart. He does it. He brings his very best, and he's so excited about that. Cain kind of is not as focused as Abel, and he kind of brings an offering out of duty, but he doesn't bring it from his heart. And it's funny because all of a sudden they both give this offering unto God, but God only accepts one. He accepts Abel's. His heart was pure. His offering was right. And Cain, all of a sudden, he gets jealous. And what does he do? In a moment of jealous rage, he takes a rock and he hits his brother and he kills him. And we can relate, can't we? I mean, I hope that you've never killed a sibling here today, right? Don't confess anything in public, right? It's being taped. But I can guarantee you that you felt like killing a sibling here today. You know, that there has been arguments that you've been in, and maybe it wasn't siblings, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a mother, maybe it was a father, maybe it was a grandparent. When you feel that injustice is done, there is moments when we get rage-filled. And what did God do? He knew what had already happened. But he comes to Cain, and he says, "Cain, where is your brother Abel?" And this classic answer, Cain says, "I don't know, what am I, my brother's keeper?" And I can just see God kind of nodding. Yeah, you are your brother's keeper. And he says, "You say you don't know, but even from the ground, his blood cries out to me. Cain, what have you done?" Whew. What have you done? You know, and I think about that. Boys, oh boys, that question is so relevant for us today. And it may not be just your siblings. You know, I talked about it as we were worshiping. There is division in our country. There is division in families. There is division in the globe. You don't have to look very far before you see somebody telling you to choose a side. And conflict is alive and well in our world. You know what? Wow. Are you your brother's keeper? Yeah. That's why Peter is telling us to add to our faith daily brotherly love, mutual affection. He's saying you are your brother's keeper, and he knows that that doesn't come easy. You think of the Word of God, there is so many examples of conflict when it comes to sibling rivalry. Like Joseph, the best that he had that day was he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Why was it the best that he had that day? Because they wanted to kill him. Wow. Like, I love that the Bible is that real and that raw, but think about that. You felt those emotions. Jacob and Esau, they fought right from the very beginning, one gripping the other's heel as they're being born, and we see how their conflict went throughout their life. Think of David. David always being overlooked. Why? Because he was younger and his older brothers were off doing war. David liked to play the harp and write poetry. He's not really a man. You stay home and look after the sheep, you little pansy. We're going to go to war. Think about the rivalry. Think about the conflicts, right? And again, you want to get right into it. Think about Jesus. Jesus has brothers and sisters. And when you look at that, there was many moments when his brothers and sisters didn't understand him. Why? Because he was a freak. He wasn't like other people. He was doing things that people weren't supposed to be doing. He was healing. He was teaching. He was always speaking. And he was raising the dead. And you know what? Some of them didn't want Jesus around. And that just is not family all the time. Sometimes it extends to the family of God. Look at Peter and Paul, the way they argued sometimes in the New Testament. Conflict is something that we are very aware of. It's part of our fallen nature. But you know what? Peter is saying we should be addressing these issues. We should be adding love to our faith. Instead, you know what? Even in the church, right? What do we see? We see somebody who doesn't get their way and they take their bat and ball and go home. I was saying in the first service, how many times do you see a church built here across the road? Right across the road, there's another church. Again, I've said this. It makes me sick. You want to know what happened? I guarantee you, if you study the history of that church, at one time there was only one church. Everybody was happy. Everybody was loving. And then all of a sudden, some people disagreed. Two families disagreed. And instead of staying there and working it out and showing love to each other and showing love to the community, what did they do? One of the family took their bat and ball and went across the road and built their own church. I'll show you! Well, you sure did, sweetheart. Thanks for showing the world that the church is dysfunctional and useless. Well, we like our little church over here. Yeah, you sure do, because it's not across the road, you selfish jerk. Well, you shouldn't talk to me like that. Don't worry, I ain't coming to your church. Amazing to me that it's in the church. Right? That we get frustrated and we get hurt and all of a sudden somebody questions us. And you know what? We are supposed to be iron sharpening iron, amen? That we're not called to agree all the time. There's going to be times where we disagree, but we are called to love, amen? And it amazes me how many people will say, so here's some truths that I want to talk about the church. Church, you shouldn't be attacking one another. It's very clear, and it talks about maturity, that when we are a child, we act like a child, but when we there's a time in our life where we put away childish things. And Peter is saying you're supposed to love one another, not attack one another. Who's your brother's keeper? You're your brother's keeper. But on the other side of that, guys, I would like to paint this picture too, because I believe that this is truth too. You shouldn't be so fragile. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. And if Dave is mad at me, Dave should not be my focus. I should come here with the focus of God. Now, if Dave and I have a problem, if we're going to be mature brothers, I should go to him in private and we should talk about it and say, man, you know what? You kind of offended me when you kind of said it this way. Hopefully he didn't mean it that way. Hopefully we both learned something from that. And even if he did mean it that way, we could still talk about the biblical way to do things even when we disagree. Why? Because my value is not based upon Dave's opinion. My value is based upon my Heavenly Father. And if the Heavenly Father's my focus, then Dave's opinion will be secondary. And churches could go on even when there's disagreements, and we would heal, and I would know that I still need to love him even when he disagrees with me. And everybody's wondering what we're fighting about right now, David. We're not. Although I did tell him when he came in, he cheers for Montreal. Montreal has lost every game this season so far, which was making me feel so good. And then last night they came alive, and I think they won, what, 6-1? And Toronto was playing at the same time, and I switched over because you guys know I love Toronto, and they were losing 7-1 to Pittsburgh, and half of Pittsburgh is sick. So, Dave, I don't really like you today, but I choose to love you. And we will never agree on hockey, but you know what? We better get used to each other because we have an eternity together, amen? See how it's supposed to work, folks? Here's the truth. You are going to get hurt in the church. Betrayal is going to happen. Deceit is going to happen. Jealousy is going to push you down. Revenge lasts a lifetime. You are going to be hurt in the church. And you are going to be hurt in the church even by people who don't mean to hurt you. But God is not the author of that hurt, so stop blaming him. Church, stop hurting one another. And start seeking mutual affection and show respect and kindness to one another. Why don't we treat others as God has treated us? Listen to this verse, 1 John 4:20. Anyone who says he loves God but doesn't love his brother is a liar. I was telling First Service, I could take that one verse and start a tour of Nova Scotia, not the Maritimes, just Nova Scotia, and I could preach every night in churches about that one verse to try to call the church back to unity, call the church to maturity, call the church to growing up, and calling the church to quit being so fragile. She's supposed to be more than a conqueror. Get over yourself, get focused on God, and let's start making an impact. Anyone who says he loves God but doesn't love his brother is a liar. Brotherly kindness, mutual affection, this philia love is deep. This philia love is to bring you up close. This philia love is to help bear the load of others. Who? Your brothers, your sisters, right? You're to help carry their burdens, right? And that's a love that causes a call to action, right? Where you're jumping in and you're willing to invest in one another, where you're jumping in and you're willing to help out, where you're jumping in and you're saying, you know what? I want to make a difference. And it starts with adding mutual love to my whole faith. And you know what? I was saying to the first service, I thank you guys. As a church, again, you know what? I've worked at two churches in my life, and both of them have been such a blessing to me. Both the congregations are still beautiful to me. We're close friends, and I'm so excited that we get to do eternity together. So I think about this. But I am so proud of you guys. And I wanted to say it this way this morning. I wanted to say thank you for signing up. You know, and if you're listening on the podcast, you may say, what in the world is he talking about? Thank you for signing up. Do you know how many times we have lists at the back where we're saying, would you sign up and help out with this? Would you help out putting in wood for a senior who can't do it anymore? Would you help out buying candy for kids for a Halloween thing that we're going to do? Would you help out volunteering for our kids' ministry? Would you help out loving on seniors and coming into the home and singing Christmas carols with us? Would you sign up? Sign up, sign up, sign up. And every week, you guys jump to the occasion. You sign up, and you show up, and you invest, and you give of your resources, and you give of your time, and you give of your love to the community. Thank you. You know, I think of Trunk or Treat that's coming up. And I know not everybody's a fan of Halloween. I get that. You know what? If you've been raised in a home where Halloween is something that you just stay away from, well, then you stay away from it. But I want you praying for that event. You don't have to participate in every event. But I was thinking of that one event that's coming up next week. There's going to be thousands of dollars spent. Thousands of dollars in candy. We put together 500 bags last year to give to kids in our community. Every one of them gone. Right? There's going to be money spent on fireworks. There's going to be money spent on pop. There's going to be money spent on chips, thousands of dollars. There's going to be hours of volunteers where, you know what, you guys have been going out and buying candy, bringing it in here. People have been taking it downstairs. People have been sorting pop. There was pop that was given to us from another event, and we were disinfecting cans, and we were putting it downstairs, and we were sorting it all out, and then we're going to put together all of those bags, which we had to take time to order, and somebody ordered them, and then we're going to have a crew come in and put them all together, and we're going to have people decorate their trunks and decorate. We had people this week going to Kentville to look for costumes so that they can make it so unique so that when kids are sitting in their car and they've been dealing with COVID, they can look at the foolishness going on in the parking lot, and for a minute they could feel like kids and they can laugh. We've got somebody who's trying to get their 50cc dirt bikes here so that we can have a Mario Kart thing going on for kids to watch all while they wait for candy. And I'm thinking all of that takes place because you love. Philia love. You know what you're saying to the community? That we love children. Amen. Thank you for loving children. Thank you for loving seniors. Thank you for loving couples. Thank you for loving families. Thank you for loving teens. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you know what? Loving isn't always easy. Sometimes it's hard, but I never want us to stop. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Why do we do all of these things? Why do we try to amplify philia love? Because there is a harvest coming. How many want to see their kids in heaven? You may not understand that if you're not a parent, but the first time they put that kid in your arms and you think, oh, Lord, what have I done? But there is a depth that opens in you that you never knew possible, and you desire nothing but good for your children. How many people know that God loves seniors? How many people know that God loves families? God loves single parents? God loves the divorced. God loves the married. God loves all. And you know why we do it? Why do we amplify philia love? Because of the harvest. The only thing that you are taking to eternity with you is whoever you point to home with. Right? That's it. Right? Erica has an awesome woodworking unit downstairs, and he builds the most beautiful crafts and most beautiful projects, and it's amazing. Guess what? He's going to leave all that whole basement behind. The only thing he's going to take to heaven is whoever he points to home with. Right? Dave has a whole bunch of Montreal Canadian memorabilia junk. Praise Jesus, he's going to leave it all behind. And the only thing he's going to take to heaven is the Montreal fans that he points there. Let us not become weary in philia, because at the proper time there'll be a harvest. And you know what? I was trying to amplify, okay, who does this reach to? Who does this mutual affection, who does it reach to? Who should it include in our life? And I couldn't help but think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Right? I'm not going to read it today because I know I've already been too long, but look it up this week. Luke chapter 10, Jesus is telling this parable. He's telling this parable about a guy who has a very bad day. What is the bad day? He gets robbed. He gets beaten to a pulp. He's left on the side of the road bleeding, possibly dying. Okay? He's not having a good day. And Jesus is saying, okay, so here's the story. The guy is bleeding, the guy is dying, the guy is at his worst. And what happens? Well, somebody comes along the side of the road. And who is it? It's a priest. It's a feller who works for God. His employer is God, right? He makes his living, apparently, you know, doing goodness. And what does he do? He sees the feller bleeding, and he doesn't want to get involved. And so he kind of goes over to the other side of the road, because that guy over there is gasping, and I don't want to touch him. He's all gross and dirty and bleeding, and I'm all dressed up for church. And he crosses on the other side of the road. And Jesus' audience, they're sad. They're gasping. There's a brother. That's a Jew over there, maybe dying. And this guy who works for God, he wouldn't touch him. Well, then he says another person comes along, so everybody's listening. They said he was a Levite. Who were the Levites? They were God's chosen of the tribes of Judah to do what? They were the chosen ones to bear God's purpose in this. They were called to ministry. That's what the Levites did. That was their gifting, right? For some it was music, for some it was building, for some it was, right? Well, the Levites were called to ministry. And what does this guy do? A Levite. He sees a brother, a Jewish brother, bleeding, gasping. And he just goes, oh, man, I haven't got time for this. And he crosses over to the other side of the road, and he passes him by. And again, Jesus' listeners, they're aghast. You could hear the air leave the room. They're like, that's terrible. Right? And then Jesus says, the next person to come by was a Samaritan. And everything got quiet. You see, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't get along, even though if you look back, there's a history of them being brothers. And it goes back to when the kingdoms were split and the northern kingdom fell and the southern kingdom got pulled into exile and the northerns got away with it, and they started to kind of branch out on their own kind of religion and started to teach different things about the Torah. And so the Samaritans hated the Jew and the Jew hated the Samaritans, even though they had a history of brothers. And so everybody who was listening got real quiet. And Jesus says, what did the Samaritan do? He went over and he had mercy. And he cleaned up the man's wounds. And he disinfected the cuts. And he bandaged him with oil. And he got him stable. And then he transported him from the side of the road to a local inn. And he stayed up all night tending to his bruises and his cuts and his wounds. And maybe he understood what a concussion was. And he kept waking him up and he kept checking on him and he kept making sure that he had fluids. And when the night had passed, he went down to see the innkeeper. And he said, the feller that I brought in last night, he's not ready to leave. He said, it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month. I don't care how long it is. I'm giving you this money. It's more than you probably need. But if this man is not well soon, you continue to care for him. And when I come back through this way, I will check. No matter what the bill is, I will pay it to you because this man matters. And the crowd listening to Jesus went, wow, a Samaritan loving a Jew. Didn't make sense to them. And then Jesus asked, who is this man's neighbor? And someone in the crowd said, the one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him. What is mercy? Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. Let me ask you something. Has God shown you mercy? Yeah. Has God shown you mercy? Yeah. Then who should you show mercy to? To anybody in need. Who is your neighbor? Anyone in need. Who is your brother? Anyone in need. Are you your brother's keeper? Yeah, you want to better believe you are. Feel your love. I've been doing all that I can to stay away from the media. Some of you and I have had some conversations. I'll say it. I feel this strongly about it. CBC, Global, and CTV are garbage. I say that because they grind axes, they pick narratives, and they've forgotten how to report facts. Okay, so I've been staying away from them because I'm trying to be mentally strong, and they wear me down. If Allison hears me getting mad at the TV, it's because the news is on, so I've been turning off the news. But a story caught my attention. And I've still been paying attention to the headlines because I love to do a year in review with you guys and look at where the world has come and where the world has been and where the church has come and where the church has been and how those things contrast sometimes. But this week in Philadelphia, it caught my mind. Headline, Philadelphia. Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. Philia, right? In the city of Philadelphia this week, right? A 35-year-old man named Fiston Ngoy got on a train at his stop. And at his stop, he grabbed a woman, a young woman, and he started sexually assaulting her, leading to rape shortly after. He was raping this woman in broad daylight. And the train was full, so this story really caught my attention. The train was full, and you'd think, okay, well, somebody's going to come to her aid. You know what people did? People watched. And as it continued, they brought out phones, not to call the police and to report an attack and to report a rape. They brought out phones, and some started taking pictures, and some started taking video of a rape happening in daylight right in front of them. And finally, after several stops, this person who is a train employee who is off duty, they came on the train to get their ride home, and they saw what was taking place, and they brought up their phone, and they said, this is happening right in front of me. And they called 911. They called the police. The very next stop, there was security guards and police waiting, and they stopped this rape, and they arrested this man. Do you want to know how many stops there was when the rape started till the rape was finally finished? 27 stops people watched and videoed a rape happening in the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And nobody got involved. And nobody did what was right. It takes my breath away and it saddens me and it tells me the day in which we live. 1 John 4:20, any one of you who says he loves God and doesn't love his brother is a liar. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for there is a harvest to come. 1 Peter 1, so add to your faith daily mutual affection and brotherly kindness. Church, always be involved in philia. Always be involved. Always be effective and productive. Always. Bow your heads. Whew. I want to pray for us this morning. You know, as I look around the world, I just see so much darkness. And I'm sad. I'm sad at this. I'm sad at the horror that mankind can do to mankind. I'm sad at our fallen nature and how so many, instead of trying to flee that nature that is wrong, how many in this world embrace that fallen nature. I'm so sad that, you know what? I'm so sad of the darkness. Well, again, church, I've said this over the last few weeks. In the darkness, the light should shine brightest, right? And you and I are called as a church to shine like the stars in the heaven. If I was to ask you, is it dark? You don't have to turn on the news very long before you realize we're living in a dark, dark time. Oh, that you and I would shine bright like the stars in the heaven. Thank you, church, for being involved. Thank you, church, for loving on the community. Thank you, church, for celebrating kids. Thank you, church, for loving one another. Thank you for praying for me, for praying for one another. Thank you, church, for spending time and giving somebody a call that you know is discouraged. Thank you for planning on coffee with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. Thank you for being involved. Thank you for signing up. Thank you, church. Thank you. Don't grow weary in philia, because there is a harvest that is coming. Add to your faith daily that kind of love, that mutual affection. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Whew, for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, I want to say thank you for maturity. I want to say thank you for health. I want to say thank you for a church that is living, that is active, that cares. Lord, thank you for a church that gives them something to talk about. Woo! I love it. Lord, let us not grow weary. But Father God, I pray that you would bless every effort in which we take the time, Lord, would people not even see the acts of kindness or the investments that we are making or the sacrifices? Would they see Jesus? Would they see Jesus? Would they see Jesus? Would they see Jesus? Everything we do, would they see Jesus in us? Let us add to our faith daily, philia. In Jesus' name, amen.